Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matthew Ford.
Oh, and me, John Joel Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of the FPL team with some of the country's funniest people, and sometimes people check the teams and sometimes they don't, and sometimes they win anyway, and it's really a lesson in the futility of existence, because sometimes people that try just get defecated on from a great high anyway, and those that do nothing are rewarded by the fact that Everton beat Manchester United and continue to cause doubt to a good team of good people who are trying their best and deserve to be safe.
Well, in case, dear listener, you were tuning in wondering who'd won this game week, you wonder no more, because I missed the deadline. I totally forgot. You know what? This feels like a very retro episode to me, John. This is like we're going back to how it used to be at the start of CPFPL when I was clueless and terrible. But the crucial difference is when I'm terrible now, I win. And I won this week. But it doesn't matter only just, does it?
Well, do you know what? I mean, it's delightful for the story, of course. You've done nothing and you've still won. It's funny because, you know, the shape of your team now is better than it was. You know, you could even have had Kane in this week. It would have done you better. I took the brave decision not to captain Mo Salah. That proved to be a mistake.
Why did you do that? Why?
Well, I thought, you know, having not learned my lesson against Manchester United earlier in the season, where I didn't captain him and he scored a hat trick, and that is to this day why I'm still 100 points off the top. I thought he would be somewhat nullified by Manchester City. I felt like Liverpool had been on a good run, but I felt Manchester City would have a better game than them overall. And I fancied Arsenal to do better than they did. And that was my great mistake, even though, again, not learning from lessons of the podcast. We had Alex Brooker on. He told us never to have faith in Arsenal, and I didn't listen.
Okay. It sounds, to be fair, like there was a fair bit of judgment in there. You thought it through. It wasn't just some dozy, thick decision where you were like, oh, I'll just see what happens if I don't captain him. There wasn't an element of, it turns out, appalling judgment, but judgment in mitigating for you, John. Nevertheless.
No, there was. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't spend as much time on the team this week as I have in the past. However, there was definitely a sort of judgment. And I think Mo Salah, most people agree, most people who look at their teams and give half a toss about FPL, unlike you dawdling flanners who just let the team roll over, let the coins roll in. Most of us have noticed that Mo Salah hasn't been on the form. We were absolutely not deluded to the fact that he would return to form. And I think it wasn't a bad decision. It's not like he scored a hat-trick and was amazing. I could have captained numerous other people in my team who would have done better. However, riddle me this, right? This is what I don't want to get bogged down in the numbers, because there are other FPL podcasts that do that. Ours is merely a battle between me and you and an occasional anecdote about hemorrhoids or being sick in a car park.
Yeah.
How is it that you had in goal for you the Wolverhampton goalkeeper who conceded a goal and lost? Yeah. His team lost. He conceded a goal. He scored 3 points. I have up front for me Alan Saint-Maximin, whose team won, as Jesse Marsh would quite rightly put it, to zero, did not concede a goal, and he scores 2 points. And he ran them ragged. How is that fair?
Well, it's not about what's fair, is it? It's about the rules, John.
Of course, it's about what's fair.
Now,
I am a good man, and I am trying my best. You leant heavily on your bench.
I often lean heavily on a bench. I tell you what, today, John. Oh, my word, today. Guess what I had for my lunch?
A boost on a bench.
No, I had a kebab. It was a chicken shish. Not doner meat, chicken shish.
Well, if you've seen... Is it called Game Changers? The Netflix... the Netflix thing, you know, the new wave of, well, I don't want to water the word because I know it riles you up, but vegans.
I like vegans. It's, we discussed this last week. I,
it's basically specifically me.
I'm partially vegan. I'm mostly vegan.
You can't claim to be vegan each time you eat a meal that doesn't have meat in it. And you, sir, are a bull. I am Scottish. And you are an arse.
I am partially vegan. I stand by that. And I think if anyone...
You can't be partially vegan.
What? Okay. Do you ever eat meat, John?
No.
Never?
No.
You have a routine in your stand-up show about that occasion.
Oh, you've got a routine that's got a gag in it, but you're not always funny.
Oh, you. Well, the people at Brighton actually really disagreed the other night.
Oh, here we go. Good. I'm looking for more stories. Now you're away from Scotland and the SNP routines have stopped causing trouble. What's the spiciest routine?
Oh,
Brian, you got to really push to upset people in Brighton. If you have a swing at the Greens, maybe, and well, Caroline Lucas, and you're actually fair in some of the things you say, although I disagree about others.
You know what? I did... it was just that Brighton was just particularly wonderful atmosphere. I got a message off a friend of mine who came to see me at the Berry in Eastleigh. A friend of mine, Mike, came to the gig and he messaged me afterwards and he said one of the funniest things...
Always important to have a good mic at the gig.
Oh, lovely. God, I tell you what, improv. Anyway, he says...
Improv.
One of the funniest things was the young woman next to us who every time you gave Corbyn a dig, gave a moaning little sigh like you'd just run over her cat.
Oh, how do you imagine that sound?
Oh.
Well, it's more feline, I think.
He's not saying that she was making the noise of the cat. She was making the noise of the owner whose cat had been moved.
Fair enough. It's
good
a
job
good
it wasn't
point.
That cat in Doha with a flamethrower because I run over that damn thing.
What noise would that have made? So what is the noise of a cat in Doha with a flamethrower getting run over? We've lost the flamethrower element. It's like you can only handle two elements. It's like you're on Ready Steady Cook and they've emptied the bag and you've gone, right, celery, don't like celery. Get rid of that. I'll deal with the other four. We asked, of course, for more combos. We've had one in, Matthew. You're not going to like it.
Okay.
This from Philip Booth.
Oh, what a nice
Have you ever
name.
Been in a Philip Booth?
No, I don't think I have. I've been in a photo booth.
Yeah, it sounds like if he calls himself Phil Booth, but like a cross between a vending machine and a photo booth where snacks crock out and you call it a Phil Booth. So yeah. I would suggest this week, I've learned, if there's one thing I've learned in my life, you do not presume what Matt Ford can and cannot do an impression of.
Thank you very much.
I'm guessing now, as an armchair fan, you're going to be leaning heavily on the weapon, not so much on the location, and very little on the animal.
Okay, well.
Phil Booth says, I would love to hear some improv
nice.
Of a giraffe in Auckland with a crossbow. It's such a good feature.
Okay, a giraffe in Auckland with a crossbow. You like it?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I mean, for listeners who, of course, aren't on the Zoom call, you really acted out the crossbow there. So you pull it back, clip it into the housing, release, and then take the hit into the neck.
Yeah, you do have to. The thing with improv, as any of the great improvisers will tell you, I'm not sure there have been any. But what they will tell you is that you have to inhabit and I inhabited the giraffe as well. I really did the sort of chewing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll probably edit it down for the podcast. But again, for people that are listening to the edit, you did chew for half an hour there.
Yes, as giraffes are often wont to do.
Mm. Where's the New Zealand element coming in? I thought you were going to give it a bloody tallest tree. Something
yes,
like that.
I guess. Can I talk as one of these animals? I guess if I can't, if I can, that solves the location problem. If I can't, the location is basically just in, I'm just channeling it on some sort of...
I don't see why you couldn't, in the realm of the improv, be a passerby looking at the giraffe. Bloody hell, the giraffe's got a bloody
okay.
crisper.
Okay. Shall I? Can I?
You want to go back in?
I'll have another
you
run.
Re-improv.
Okay.
Can you re-improv? Oh, I don't think you can re-improv because I think this now becomes a rehearsed piece.
Okay. No, but I'm adding something else in, aren't I? So it's
improv. Okay. So no longer improv. This is the crafted and rehearsed performance of Matt Ford presenting to you a giraffe in Auckland with a crossbow.
But it's still improv because the human
it's not
element,
improv because you
because the element has been added in. You've added the people, so we've built.
Oh, it's
the
improv by. I mean, let's be honest. Let's call out the improvisers of our time. It's improv in the sense that you've done it before and you've had a go at it. And if it works, you're going to keep it on the tour. I mean, do you want to call out the improvisers now? Do you want to say that? I'm happy to go on record saying there is not a single improvised show in the country with improvised material in it.
Is that right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just mouthing off now.
Yeah, I like it when you're edgy and nasty and you well, developing beefs.
I think there's a big difference between calling out Millwall supporters and calling out comedians who do improv. And I'm happy to do the latter and not the former.
Okay.
So let's get back into it. The rehearsed, honed, crafted performance of Matt Ford, one of the country's leading impressionists of a giraffe in Auckland with a crossbow.
Okay, so this is improv. Oh, I love being at the zoo, don't you, mate? Oh, yeah, I love it. Cool, look at that giraffe. I wonder what he's thinking. Just chewing away with his big, stupid face. Yeah, I can say whatever I like to it. He's not going to do anything to me. Oh, my God. It's lighting up a crossbow. You got him right between the eyes, dude. You just got fucking killed by a fucking giraffe or something. Shit. Hey, zoo man. My mate just got crossbowed through the face by a giraffe with a crossbow, dude. What? Giraffes can't.
I want compensation of 2,000 krugerrands. I mean, when exactly did Auckland become the capital of South Africa?
They were tourists. People visit New Zealand every year.
Okay.
I love this feature.
Let's be honest, keep those coming in.
Yeah.
What's yeah.
it called again? What's the feature?
I don't know what it's called. Has it got a name?
Animal City Weapon, isn't it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. We have had some suggestions in for what to call the feature where we ask people to give us features.
Yeah.
Apart from what it should be called, which is a fucking cheek.
I've got some of them here, John. Barry Abbott, what a great name.
Whoa, that's a great... not a job in the world you couldn't do with the name Barry Abbott.
Barry Abbott. It sounds there's a bit very like few, Gary Ablett.
Yeah, there's very few names where you could be a monk, a brewer of beer, a footballer. I mean, there's nothing you cannot do as a... Barry Abbott turns up anywhere and he's welcome.
Yeah, I like to imagine he makes deep-filled beef pies. Barry Abbott's big beef pie. So he says... Good features for a big man. Andrew Slater also says, how about good features for a big man?
Oh.
Someone called MJ says, came up with what I thought was a cracking feature pump for you last week, but my missus said it was shit and that you wouldn't read it out. He says, given the garbage ones you've read out in the past, here goes nothing. Oh, this is great. Son, young men, of a feature man. I think that's genius. Son of a feature man.
Do you have to say young men? In the way you said it for it to work. I'd like to hear it again without the sort of caveated brackets.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Son of a feature man.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and also, it could just be son of a feature man. It doesn't even need... What he's added in is also the great a football pun. I think he's fantastic, this MJ.
And do you know why I really like it? I like it because now we can go back to his wife and say, ah!
Yeah.
You told me that was shit, and they read it out, and they liked it.
Is that what you'd say to your wife?
She doesn't engage with anything I do professionally, so the idea that, you know, it's jealousy of MJ, the fact that his wife clearly either listens to the podcast or engages with any of his thoughts and ideas is something I'm jealous of. I'd say to her, oh, I came up with a great feature for this thing on a podcast, and she'd say, what? And I said, I was listening to a podcast, and she'd say, oh, right, when were you doing that? Why weren't you doing something more useful with your time? And I'd say, I'm so sorry. And let me just delete every opinion I've ever had.
I love that you would go, ah, to a spouse or loved one. Ah.
Yeah.
That's all.
I hope he does. I hope it. And do you know what? If he's listening to this, and I assume he will be, I think he. I don't want to speak for you, Matthew. I think he has our permission to unprompted go up to his wife and without explaining why he's doing it, just go, "You're shit."
He then
and then
just
get back in touch with her response. Oh, yeah. He has to explain it afterwards. Yeah,
you're pretty sharpish after that.
And don't do it if she's like feeding their child or something like that. You know, or like driving a bus.
Yeah, or chopping. Don't do anything with.
Oh, like shopping, yeah, yeah, nothing with knives. Yeah.
Or she's carrying a tray of very thin glass. Don't.
Or all those things together. I mean, if she drives a bus full of delicate glassware while feeding her child, let her get in and have a shower, for Christ's sake, MJ.
Ah, but yeah, you can tell her, you can say. Maybe we should have a feature called Ah, where you get in touch with us, hello@cpfpl.com, and anytime you've been vindicated, let us know. And instead of giving a shout out, we'll give an Ah out in the face of the person that told you you were wrong.
Love it.
Yeah, sort of.
These people have to be told.
Well, yes. You know, these claims have to be rebutted. It's absolutely crucial. Obviously, you don't want to do this at the expense of your relationship. I did something today. Have you tried the new Dairy Milk Caramilk?
No, not vegan. Don't know if I've ever mentioned that. So it might be interesting for listeners to know that I'm vegan because I don't think we've discussed it before. Mm. But not vegan. And I don't think I ever liked... Caramax, which is what it's based on, is it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Well, it's the Cadbury's version.
A dairy milk shagged a Caramac.
And produced caramel. But it doesn't have a dairy milk pull-through. It looks like Caramac. It's just Cadbury's answer to Caramac. Caramac was made by... I'm going to Google it because it'll do my head in. Otherwise, Caramac... I'm guessing Nestle.
Barry Abbott. Barry Abbott invented the Caramac. Absolutely believe that.
But he'd invent something. It'd be like Barry Abbott's Caramac back.
Yeah.
It would be a medical affliction that he had developed. Have you heard about Barry Abbott's Caramac back? He ate so much Caramac, he put his back out. Like Kim Jong-un when he ate all that cheese and it shattered his ankles.
I want to hear about your opinions on the Caramac. I just want to briefly, just because we're nearing the end of our time together, I just want to check in on you personally about why you're having a full chicken shish kebab for lunch followed by a Caramac. Is everything okay, or did you just have a day off and fancy treating yourself?
Well, I had a couple of drinks last night.
Oh, here we go.
And I've usually got a lot of discipline food-wise, but then I was just like, you know what? I haven't been down that street and had a kebab for literally years, so I'm just going to do it. And then after that, I thought, I really fancy something sweet. And I tell you, John, I spent most of the afternoon in physical turmoil, convinced I was going to vomit, wriggling around on the city. I had to do a Zoom meeting. Oh, my God.
Oof.
Pretending that I was fine and that I hadn't just had a whole... Anyway, the caramel did not belong to me. So then I had to go back out. What I do, right, so if I eat my girlfriend's caramel... Or, like, or like it's just something in and I eat it. Then what I do is I don't just replace it, I replace it with double.
So she knows, isn't surely the whole point is that she doesn't know you've eaten it. If she opens the fridge and there's two there, she knows you've had it.
I didn't think of that. But what it means is I could go, yes, I did eat your caramel, but now you've got two. So me eating your stuff is beneficial for you. It drives economic growth. It gives you more caramel. So then, you know, if I ever want your stuff, it's almost like what I'm trying to do is, it's almost like a Pavlovian thing. So that when, if I
yes,
do
but then she knows anything she gets back that there's two of that you've stolen. So if she gets back and there are, for example, two lipsticks and two bras and two pairs of knickers in the drawer, then she knows you've had... Cheeky times, while she's
going away. Cheeky times!
Matt Ford's cheeky times.
Barry Abbott's cheeky times. what a night that'd be. So, but then it's like, oh yeah, because I had your caramel, so now you've got two caramel. So it's like, it's like the good news and the bad news. The bad news is I ate your caramel, but the good news is you've now got two. I mean, that's just a better world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. From what I gather of the caramel, I don't think I could finish one. So I think the idea of two...
What'd she say?
She said Matt Ford's a Tory.
Oh, what? Who did you say that?
That was a deep burn. I didn't tell her, no. I've just arrived. I can only assume either my wife has told her to say that or she's formed that opinion based on her own understanding of your work.
Sounds like one of my Twitter tormentors.
Listeners to the podcast will be interested to learn that she walked in on me during the recording of last week's podcast. And when I came out of the room I'd been recording in, asked me what jack shit meant. And I had to very quickly tell her that I'd said jackfruit.
I think you could have said, oh, jack shit as a footballer.
Yeah, do you know, I took the... Well, no, it's just that I take any opportunity I can to push the vegan agenda. And I thought it would be a good conversation about, you know, how you can substitute it for steak and a steak and ale pie.
Yeah, but jack shit could be a vegan footballer. We could develop a narrative around that.
Yes, absolutely. Jack shit, it's too traditional a name, though.
Like Barry Abbott. Barry Abbott. Do you reckon Barry Abbott's a vegan?
Barry Abbott ain't a vegan. He hates all that. Barry Abbott's not having that.
He makes his deep-filled beef pies. Barry Abbott. Oh, I'd love to meet Barry Abbott. Coming out tonight. Coming out with Barry Abbott.
Oh, no, that's a mess. Barry Abbott's not coming, is he? Yeah, he's coming. Oh, God. All right, then, I'll see you tomorrow. Stay in a hotel. That's what the partners of people who go out with Barry Abbott say. Yeah. Do you know what? Just don't come back tonight because you'll be stinking of gravy and farting all night.
You better take 2 days off work after this because you're a f***ing state when you've been out with Barry Abbott.
Yeah. You speak differently. Your language is different. Let me say something that I think you're going to find interesting.
Okay.
Because it doesn't happen very often. I think when it does, it's worth flagging up. Perhaps we'll have a jingle. John Richardson's interesting statement.
Oh, yeah, we should have a jingle for it.
In tribute to your victory this week,
yeah,
I make you this pledge. I am not even going to open the app between now and next week's podcast. I'm going to try and beat you at your own game. So I'm not going to look at my team betwixt now and next week's fixtures. Oh, no, no, I instantly regret this because I think I should switch the armband back to Mo Salah. But I can't. I'm a man of my word. The league is already over. We've had some great suggestions in, by the way, for end-of-season forfeits. I don't know if you've seen them, Matthew. Most of them revolve around you either naked or in a Derby County kit.
You're more likely to get me naked.
I'm reading them. I'm filing them. Keep them coming in. hello@cpfpl.com. You can find us on socials. Send them all in. I will... what I would usually say in this situation, I'll pick the best. I will collate every horrific part of each of them into one horrific mega forfeit, like a sort of, you know, one of those cartoon snowballs rolling down a hill. Yeah. So that by the end, Matt Ford is naked except for a duck in the centre of the city grounds singing Derby County songs.
I'm not going to get naked.
Nope.
And I'm not going to do anything regarding Derby.
Okay. All right.
Maybe Barry Abbott could sort of cook me into a big pie with my head sticking out the crust. And then you just...
Would rather be cooked into a pie than do anything related to Derby County. You would rather be spliced and cooked in a pie, pastried.
Mm. But then I could eat my way out, can I? I could eat my way out.
Not when you've been portioned up, mate.
Oh, no, I guess what I mean, the pie would be around me. I wouldn't. You maybe just plop me in it at the end.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the thought of you being cooked into pastry.
Would you eat me?
Absolutely not. No.
Why not?
And not even because I'm vegan, but just because the thought of that makes me feel physically sick. Makes me feel like you in a Zoom meeting with a double Caramac. Do you secretly buy your girlfriend two Caramacs because you know you're going to eat another one and then she's still got one?
Oh, Dr. Freud has joined the podcast.
Mm.
I wonder if that's part of it. I wonder if... I really do wonder, John. Because the thing is with me is I'm very good at saying, right, I'm not eating for the rest of the day and sticking to it. But once that dam breaks... You know what? God. Wandering down the street, just nipping into shops, seeing what they had. I thought, if there's anything I see I want, I'm going to eat it. I picked up, right? I went into a pasty shop. They didn't have anything I wanted. I went into Polish...
In itself, remarkable.
They had something called Hungarian compacted bacon. I actually picked it up. I was so close. It looked like a big chunk of pork belly in cellophane. I don't know
what was... anything in your body that's got the word compacted on it.
Mm. I'll take you there. I reckon you find it quite tasty to look at. I was thinking about having a KFC. I was thinking about having a steak bake. I mean, I did very well to resist. What did I have in the end? I did get myself a little snack. Oh, I got myself a Purdy's fizzy drink. So I thought that'll fill me up.
No, it won't. Awful. That's the worst choice because you're getting all the calories from the sugar and none of the filling.
Oh, no.
You'd be better with a compacted meat.
I had a veggie samosa last night.
Oh, lovely. That is nice.
Yes. And then today, just the food rules have just gone out the window. I've been a real old piggy. But obviously, I used to be like that all the time. I was a real fat bastard. And I'd just eat all day. Do you remember? I'd just go over to that shop across the road from where we lived. I'd be getting prawn cocktail spirals, drifters.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had that night out, didn't we, when even Barry Abbott was saying to you, steady on. Even Big Baz Abbo was saying, you need to slow down, old big.
Oh, man. And then I'd go over there for a Solera, then I'd come back and be like, ooh, I think I fancy a Cornetto now. I mean, we were young and free. It was great, you know.
Yeah, and we had a treadmill in the front room that we genuinely used.
I dropped a ton of weight on that thing. But the problem was you'd be looking at the shop you were about to waddle over to.
Yeah, well, I think that was like, you know, in the Looney Tunes cartoons where they put a headband with a sort of carrot on Bugs Bunny's head so he starts running.
Yeah.
I think looking over it, because we would look over at the brunch cafe where we'd go and have our big fry-ups and we'd be looking at the shop. And I think actually that was like, right, I can get in there and I can have what I want.
And you go in there and go, oh, I've had an email. I've had a tweet, sorry. I just checked my Twitter. Someone has tweeted me a picture of a Toby Carvery. It looks amazing. It's Justin Heaton. He says, I can't go to Toby Carvery without thinking about Matt Ford being sick in the car park anymore. And he's loaded up his plate. You know what I would like to do, John?
Mm.
I think I'm ready to go back to the Carvery.
Do you know, I drive past that Carvery a lot and I have the opposite feeling.
Oh, really?
I drive past it and I think I never want to go there again.
Well, that one was very hot.
It was more just the experience, sort of like completing a computer game. I've completed that Toby Carvery. I got to have a nice dinner and watch you ralph up in four different locations in that car park, including one location where I think you were clearly mistaken for a dogger. Because you were hunched over in the bushes and I was illuminating you with the headlights of the car. I mean, that's the perfect Toby Carvery experience.
And take your trousers off.
Did you have a jelly? Did you have a jelly? Yeah, I bet you did. And some ice cream. All right, then. It's going to be a fun old bedtime.
She's full of beans late at night, your daughter, Jill.
She's full of sugar is what she's full of. She's got a touch of the Fords about her. She's really? Still lost for sugar that I sometimes wonder about a paternity test. While we're discussing forfeits and specifically Toby's, you said you'd reached out to Toby Bevans.
Yes.
Am I to assume from your silence that he has yet to reach back around?
Look, still no word. Look, I'll reach out again to Toby. I'll get him back in
He's
touch.
Very busy, isn't he? If you've seen the Q2 campaign they've got going for the to relaunch Muller Ice.
Have they?
I saw a lad having a Muller Ice in a service station this week. I was really jealous of him.
John, I have some news.
Yes.
I have found Barry Abbott's LinkedIn profile. Often I have to imagine our listeners. We've already channeled Barry to a fair extent. But where in the country do you think Barry is?
Barry Abbott, I want to say he's in the northeast. That's what I want to say.
You're not far off. He's in Doncaster.
Okay, Donny. Yeah, okay. Well, I believe that, Barry Abbott.
Tell me, what do you think he does for a living?
Barry Abbott. I don't think he's based in one location. I think he travels about. I'm not saying he's a sales rep, but he's some sort of regional manager or so he gets about a bit, Barry Abbott.
Right, just hold on. Be honest and tell me if you've seen this profile.
I swear to God, I know nothing of Barry Abbott.
He owns a travel business.
Oh!
He literally moves around for a living. Yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he owns Club Class Travel.
Club Class Travel, Doncaster. Nice.
Yeah, he's basically executive chauffeur.
Oh, incredible. Well, I've got a hand on heart. It's not what I was imagining. But it's a perfect, I mean, what I said, I can understand. But, I'm picturing Barry stood by a car on his LinkedIn picture in a suit.
I'll tell you what he looks like. He looks like a very kind man. He's got a very sweet mouth.
Okay.
He's lovely skin, very smooth skin, wears glasses, a kind smile. And he's bald. What do you think he does in his spare time?
Oh, Barry Abbott. He's into F1.
Not a bad guess because of the cars. It's although it's sport, it says spare time dedicated to local sport at AFC Bentley.
Oh, okay. Oh, again, a car link.
Car link, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How long has he been involved in youth football for?
Oh, 17 years.
Close, 15. You're doing very well. His final line is three words. He is a big something lover.
Harry.
What is he?
I think he's a big. Had you not given me the clue that it's three words, I would have said real ale. But I'm going to change my answer to cat.
Oh, it begins with C and ends in T.
Ooh.
Cricket.
Oh, okay. That's not there. Yeah. That's not there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't realise how I'd made that sound then.
Okay, well, Barry's a lot tamer than. For a second, I thought he was going to turn out to me. That would be a hell of a LinkedIn profile.
So we have had other... In fact, we've had an email from my father. From Mr. Ford.
Mm-hmm. You usually text him, don't you?
Yeah.
John Ford.
John Ford. It says, topless darts. He says, hi, Matt and John. Definitely up for another night of semi-naked darts fun in Chippy.
Yes.
I've had a chat with my mate Wally, and he's up for it. Thought we might make it a combined pub crawl and darts challenge, and all day. Great local ale too, Hook Norton Ales. Brilliant beer.
Old hockey.
Keep up the good
yes.
work, boys. All the best. John F., brackets, Matt's dad.
How relieved were you, having seen these email subject line, topless darts, that he listens to the show, that he hadn't just gone rogue? 40. It's time we had an evening of tits and darts.
Subject, topless darts, body email. It's on telly now. Basically, the political will exist. If this was the Good Friday Agreement of topless darts, we've had a major breakthrough here. This is like Trimble and John Hume. We've got all the pieces on the table we need to make this happen.
Got to get in the room together.
Got to get in the room and hammer out this topless darts deal.
So many loose ends. I think...
Got to find a broadcaster.
Is it time to say that's all we've got time for this week? With a reminder.
I think it is.
Send in those animal weapon locations. Send in end of season forfeits. Don't send in any hot tips this week. I know he's going to ask you to. Don't. I'm not going to open the app. I've made a pledge. The app will remain closed until the end of the next game week, and we'll see what happens. Which is stupid.
I don't know why you did it. Why did you do it?
I'm just trying to add a bit of spice to the podcast. It's the end of the season. The league is already over. You cannot beat me. So
just showboating now. It's bullying.
Just absolutely just having a bit of fun with it. Christ, it's, you know.
Listeners, help me beat this prick. Send me your hot tips to @MattFord. And get in touch all those things. End of season forfeits. hello@cpfpl.com. Animal weapon location. And you can tweet us @ComediansFPL. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Leave us a review, share, subscribe, spread the word, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.